Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Alara Canfield Show. Thank you so much for being here. And this is a brand new season of the Alara Canfield Show. And I'm so excited because, you know, it's like a new energy, a new year, new focus, new passions. And just, you know, a lot is happening right now. And so much more is possible, I find, as we're moving into this year. Last year was difficult for a lot of people, including myself. This year, it just feels so much more positive, and I don't know, I feel more empowered. I feel more like anything is possible, right? And then of course there's so many things that I want to do and say and be, and it's like, oh my goodness. So I have to kind of rein myself in a little bit. But it's like, how much fun is that when you can start to create, you know, create your life from an empowered place, right? And in this new sacred reality of, you know, of empowerment, of joy, of love, of whatever it is that you want is possible for you. And so I know it sounds like really preachy, but it's like, this is exactly what I'm feeling into for this year. And so that means stepping out more, stepping up more, allowing yourself to shine, allowing yourself to be seen, right? And just allowing yourself to be, okay? So I'm excited about this season. And of course, you know, the theme for this season is step into a new empowered sacred reality. So are you willing to step into this new empowered sacred reality with me and with my guests? And so today we have with us Jill Matson is here. And so I'm so excited because we're going to be talking about deep secrets and magic of old Egypt rediscovered. And so Jill, welcome.
Thank you. I'm honored to be here with all of the people listening. The energy feels really good. So thank you all for joining and sharing with us.
And so, you know, for those, and this is since it's your first time on our show, so I wanted to just, if you could take a moment just to introduce yourself a little bit more about what it is that you do, how long you've been doing it. And as we were talking right before we started, I was like, you know, the work, the amount of work and teaching and learning that you've done to create these packages, and just not just that, but just the body of knowledge and wisdom that you have. I mean, I'm like, wow, I have no idea how you did all that. So can you share a little bit about who you are and some of the work that you do, and why did you get started in it?
I'm been a musician since I've been knee-high to a grasshopper. And that's very important to this. In midlife, I went on a spiritual crisis. And I was looking for the most loving concept of God. I had read the Old Testament and had read and pondered over some of the sections in which, like, you know, I mean, at best you could say God had PMS. And so I started looking for other Bibles, looking for a more pure or loving. And I went to Babylonia and Samaria, and quickly got into Egypt. I spent time with the Kabbalah, and I was really just searching for the most high, most loving, most beautiful, thinking that, you know, if I think my God's mean, what does that say about me? If I have this unbelievable, mind-blowing, loving God, what does that say about me? But on this quest, as I went through the papyri and the Egyptian, the Chinese, all over. I'm a geek, put it lightly. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that in these very secret hidden documents that they were writing in code a lot, and they were talking about sound, and I'm a musician. So it's like, I would read the stuff about sound and like the hair would grow, you know, stand up like a raccoon or something, just electrify. And I started to collect it, and I ended up getting tidbits perhaps on pieces of paper from the floor to the ceiling. And what I understood was that long ago, in the particular the legends like of the early Chinese or the early Sumerians and their history books, and the Egyptians even talk about their history, and These earlier beings were perhaps not Homo sapiens, but they were thinner. They were like us. They were definitely more involved. They were clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient. And think about it. You know, if you're clear, if you're telepathic, why do you need to talk? You don't. Mm-hmm. You know, so what was sound? And they were hearing sound from the planets moving and orbits and beautiful things coming in from the heavens. So you wouldn't even use it for music. It was a jackhammer. And you use sound to lift rocks. Mm-hmm. You use sound to alter a personality, like rehab instead of jail. Use sound to grow crops. You need sound to grow a limb. You need sound for healing your liver, for giving you better clairvoyance, for opening up your telepathy, for dream interpretation. I mean, sound for everything. And I've spent my life, got 3 books out and 11 CDs. And I have, there's a science. So, you know, and this is not woo-woo or meditation. This is science. Mm-hmm. Your liver, your heart, all these things have frequencies when healthy. Your digestion when healthy. Cancer has a frequency. Everything is a frequency, and it's quite accessible through different softwares and different measures. So you can look at the body as health. I have CDs to tune your organs, to bring light into your aura like the ancients did, which is highly empowering. To take out your negative energy, your negative emotions, to tighten the muscles in your face and neck, to listen to vitamins. And then you can see that everything is simply energy. It's shaking. And if you count the cycles per second, it's compared to sound. And so sound kind of weaves in and out of everything. And in essence, in ancient times, any higher learning, you went and learned music first, not like today. I mean, it doesn't make sense today.
Right.
It's not to learn to play a pretty song. It's to learn that the universe is mathematics, and mathematics expressed as frequencies, and understand everything in terms of waves, wave interactions, energy, and sound. So that's my background. And today's class is on ancient Egypt. It took me many, many years to come up with this because the Egyptians, well, first of all, let me say that think to the United States being kind of powerful in 100 years. And I don't know, I think we're kind of shaky now. But think to the Egyptians, the top power for 3,000 years. Mm-hmm. And today we might measure our success by the stock market, the job. I mean, is a powerful country. They would measure it by the purity of the priest's prayers, by the psychic abilities, by the mysticism and spiritual mastery of the pharaoh. And isn't that really what our light workers are? I mean, for me, as a worker, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. So they got a lot of secrets, and they were very good at secrets. Nothing's written on a mummy. Nothing's written on how to build a pyramid. That's over 3,000 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, a good juicy secret's days, let alone 3,000 years. Something so important. And you can tell what's important to them, how closely they guarded the secret. For in these ancient spiritual based countries, the knowledge, and often and usually was sound based, the knowledge, the inner knowledge, how to keep your warriors brave, how to keep your farmers industrious, how to keep your people happy, how to have them support the pharaoh, how to get along. And these kind of things were done with sound and music frequently. And whoever had this knowledge had the power. Mm-hmm. So it was, you know, you blab, they kill you.
Right.
The Chinese, it was very secret. So, let me see what else I'm going. I think another reason why we're attracted to is that I believe in past lives, or at least I believe in quantum field and quantum energy and maybe time occurring all at once. Mm-hmm. I feel like we have a collective mind, and although it may not be in our conscious mind, I think we subconsciously know that the secrets from these temples are really powerful.
Yeah.
Don't think about it. Think about good 3,000 priests. That's the top of their food chain, the best of the best, all day long for 3,000 years. What are they doing all day?
Right. They're chanting something, for sure. Chanting,
yeah, they're refining spiritual practice. They're learning health, abundance, strength, wellness, longevity, through sound and through many other spiritual practices. Mm-hmm. And as I said, I had to read the Egyptian stuff many times, and I probably wouldn't have been able to figure out what they're talking about, because sometimes when you read these ancient things, it sounds like they're smoking something. but it's like each would want to attract students. And so they would like let out maybe one good juicy secret, like the Pythagoreans would talk about how it affects the emotions and nothing else. They're just dangling one little secret out there. Hmm. And once I understood that, then when I read the Egyptian stuff, I understood. And so by looking at the Chinese, the Sumerians, the Americans, the Amazon, all these different tribes, they would give you glimpses. Mm-hmm. Understanding, and I had to do the whole world to put it together, and I'd have to read like the papyri many, many, many times. Here's an example. I remember the first time I read this, I was thinking that are they superstitious or stupid? And I guess that was me who was stupid. But anyway, the Egyptians were writing about the cure for a cracked skull is to sleep with an ostrich egg, and I thought, yeah, ha ha ha.
Yeah, that sounds weird.
I thought. And then I wrote a book on Sherry Edwards, who has ears like a dolphin, clairaudience to the max, mm-hmm. like these ancient cultures would. And she hears sounds coming out of shapes. Lo and behold, if you use very sophisticated scientific equipment, everything makes a frequency.
Right.
Even 2D shapes on a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. And an ostrich edge is about the size of your skull. And the frequency coming from an ostrich egg is the same as a healthy skull. So they're using resonance.
Got it.
Yes, indeed, it would work. And you can go to a bone doctor today who will give you a little tone box for a lot of money. And it'll be the frequency of a bone. And if you listen to that, you can take the time in half or a quarter to heal your bone. It's the same thing, frequency through resonance.
Wow.
See, that's what I mean. It took me a long time to figure this out. So I guess that's a little intro.
Yeah. And just, you know, but you're talking about that and it's like, wow. I wonder what else is possible. You know, if like, who knew that you could take another skull and put it beside yours and have your skull start to heal? I mean, I get it now, you know, logically, you know, I get it. But it's like, if I wasn't already in this field, and spiritual development and all that stuff, I would have said, you know what, you're crazy. You know, it's like, what are you talking about? What are you smoking?
And I think, what are these guys smoking? Woo.
Exactly. But since I've been in here for a while now, it's like, yeah, you know what, that is possible. I can see that. Mm-hmm. And so it's about the frequency of that skull and your own skull, and the ostrich skull is not broken or damaged in any way, so it has a higher vibration.
Yes.
Or high frequency, and so it entrains you, your skull. Yes. To it, right?
Absolutely. You copy it, and when you copy it, your body heals itself.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And so how do you now, I'm assuming you took that technology, that knowledge, that wisdom, and translated it into music? Or sound?
Absolutely. Well, my book, a lot of the work was done by Sherry Edwards, who has that, like, that dolphin hearing. And she used the work of Joseph Fourier from like the 50s. And sound, we think it's one wave, but actually it breaks into fractals. So just as light goes through a crystal and breaks out into the rainbow, mm-hmm. your voice can go through a sound prism and break out into component pitches, like a fractal. And you'll find, like, for example, your voice is every pitch in your body combined.
Oh, that's, wow.
So when you're sick.
Yep.
When you're angry or when you're loving, you know, you can feel it.
Yeah.
And And she even offers free software where you can break your voice down into pitches. And then from there, it simply becomes science. And I would say that sounds akin to the periodic chart of elements, or the periodic chart of elements is a musical scale. Mm-hmm. And so you can identify every frequency, you can label it and look at everything going on inside. And it's not just Sherry, there's other ways to do it. Some people will, because your body's holographic, I have friends that do it through or holding a metal ball, galvanic skin pressure, through your aura. There's many ways to go in and look at everything in terms of frequency, which is vibrating energy, counting the cycles per second, and then going deeper and just looking at math.
So for those of us who are not that inclined, how can you help us with that? And so, I mean, I know we're like just jumping into the sound, but before we go even deeper into the sound, I wanted to just take us back to Egypt for a second, and just the frequencies and the sounds of the pyramids per se, even, you know, they must mm-hmm. be like amazing. You know, those vibrations and those frequencies when people go in there and meditate or do anything, or just mm-hmm. this bee, right? Mm-hmm. It must change you because it has a higher vibration, higher frequency. So you automatically do get entrained to it, do you not?
Yes. Yes. And they you heal faster. Your food will last longer in a pyramid. There's dozens and dozens of benefits of just being inside a pyramid. Mm-hmm. And then the ancient secrets have a lot to do with copying nature, which is God's handiwork. And looking at the mathematics, if you will, pretty much in the geometry of nature, and then converting that to sound. And what we've done, and I know we're jumping all around, it might be a little hard to understand, but what I've done in for the Egyptians is their holiest of holies, if you will, was the Sephiroth. Mm-hmm. And the Sephiroth are the little circles in the Tree of Life, the Jewish Kabbalah Tree of Life, which was stolen from the Egyptians.
Ah.
I think that Moses was a Pharaoh's son, having access to all the secrets. And if you really get into the Egyptian stuff, the Tree of Life was theirs, only they assigned each one of their gods. No, or is it different?
We're losing you a little bit. Are you using a Wi-Fi headset or Wi-Fi?
My computer, Jess. Should I get closer?
Yeah, it just was cutting out a bit.
Okay, sorry, I'll try again. Okay. So the sounds that I've done for this program is very spiritual, and it's like the holiest Egypt mysteries. And that was the Kabbalah, or the Tree of Life, that Moses took with him when he left with the Israelites. And in fact, a good key to finding a lot of the Egyptian mysteries is to read the Kabbalah stuff, because they took their secrets. Anyway, the idea with the Sephiroth was that it was all that is, or God, coming in white light and breaking out, let's say, into prism colors. And then each prism color is a different cycle per second or different energy, and it represents a god, like pink would be ice, mm-hmm. and would be golden or raw. And so each Egyptian god that had a frequency or an aura that radiated with an attribute of God, as people were involving, getting more physical and less spiritual, they kind of like blocked off God. And we get kind of like a faint echo. So as you go through the Sephiroth, there's some... But since... Egyptians is that as we evolved, as we went down the step to become a human and have only physical senses, you know, like eyes and ears, and lose that clairaudience, clairvoyance, and telepathy, etc., that these higher energies were like cut off. Mm-hmm. And they would, in the Egyptian mythology, the each god, you know, protects a Sephiroth or an attribute. But they put down how to open them. In sound, they wrote that in stone, and it's hidden right in front of us. So, and then in deep meditation, I was shown how to convert their sounds, or how they converted their shapes to sounds. And it was done with frequencies, cycles per second, and harmonics, which is an after ripple of sound. And harmonics can be expressed as vowel sounds. So they would have, like when the pharaoh died, they had certain you into the to up your life stream much, much higher. That was, I don't know, they talk like this dimension would have a certain frequency, and then they had these secret vowel patterns that would impact your aura, your energy, and your health. Mm-hmm. So what I've done with this Sephiroth pattern is, the timing's right, we're awakening, we're starting going back, and each one of these 10 Sephiroth represents an attribute of God, of which we have a weak thumbprint. Mm-hmm. It's the sound code to open it up, to give us more divine qualities, more higher energy. Think like this way. Okay, God is he's up there and he gets all radio stations. He understands. He hears everything. He involves in matter, then he hears less. So let's say he goes from 100 radio stations to 50 to 20 to 10. And now us as humans, we only have one. We hear ourselves.
Right. True.
So what we're doing here is that hearing ourselves is we're opening up the channels again. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the secrets that we're sound with the Egyptians. So and I can go into detail later, but.
Yeah. So I was just going to ask you a really quick question just to clarify. Or just to, you know, get it straight in my head. So there's, you know, in the Sephiroth, there are 10 points, I would say, or 10 mm-hmm. gods or goddesses or deities, mm-hmm. whatever. And each of those is a frequency or an attribute of God, which now, mm-hmm. which you have it corresponding to a sound. So if we were to listen to that sound, we would be entrained to that frequency or that attribute, yes. or that quality.
Yes. Think of Reiki. What is it, 25, 30 years old? And when it was really novel at the beginning. And so when you took your Reiki training, at the very end, you get an attunement. Mm-hmm. Well, what's an attunement? It's actually a little scribble on a piece of paper. That's it. But that little scribble gives off little frequencies. And they open up the chakras in your hands to allow you to give white light, mm-hmm. aka Reiki. So this is very much the same thing. You see the shapes of the Jewish people documented the shapes which are directly correlating to the energy. So you can look at the shapes, and then I put the shapes in sound. And here's my thought. If looking at a little symbol opens up your chakra so you can do Reiki, mm-hmm. how much more does looking at that symbol and then hearing its sound? It's much more powerful.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's what I'm getting. It's like, yeah, that it would be. And then, wow. Okay, so that's amazing that we can even access that and have that be a tool or a resource for us to go deeper within, and at the same time connect to, really a higher aspect of ourselves, you know? Mm-hmm. Basically, what we're
sound
doing.
Sound is the fastest way. Like, let's say... Helena Blavatsky, Alice Bailey, the Great White Brotherhood, they're all saying the fastest route is sound. And even sight, although it's not as strong as sound, and the only reason my sound's more powerful is simply because it's exact same frequency range as everything in our body. Our physical thoughts are all directly within the range of a little lighter dosage. But think to this. In the Indian, the Hindu tradition, with the yantra, it's just a diagram. Yeah. They say if you spend a lot of time looking at that one diagram in a lifetime, you're expected to ascend. Mm-hmm. If you don't, maybe it takes you 700, 1,000 lifetimes. I mean,
that's a long time.
Yeah, but if you look at the frequencies, if you have a direct source of those frequency, they're saying, bam, you're going to move up fast. And of course, the sounds will be more powerful.
Right. Okay, awesome. I love that. Thank you. I find with sound, you know, and frequencies and vibrations, they affect me right away. I mean, I can feel the difference right away when I'm listening to something. Not when I'm like thinking something or doing something, but actually paying attention to just being in that moment and listening, you know, and just being in that energy. Not when I'm multitasking, right? Not so much when I'm multitasking. Sometimes, but
here's the secret. We don't think about this, but the biggest concern that I think in that temples of Egypt was dosage. And, you know, we don't even think about that in sound. But when you pay attention to something, you absorb it at a greater rate. Mm-hmm. Think to hot gossip in fourth grade or droning on teacher about fractions. You know, you can turn that teacher right down so you don't even hear her.
Right.
And you can turn that hot gossip right up. And so whatever we focus on, we take in at a greater rate. But, you know, something you can do with these Sephiroth sounds or other sounds that are beneficial is loop them.
Yeah.
And don't have to be loud. And so, like, let's say you're not paying attention, you're multitasking. You take them in, let's say, 50% of the dosage. But if you loop it all day long, mm-hmm. you get the dosage. So there's, and that's what the Egyptian magic and the Druid magic, that's what white magic's all about. It's getting dosage. So you get a sound, you get the sound in a fragrance, you get the same frequency in something to eat, in a hair, in an eye, a newt, whatever. But they're combining things of the same frequency to give you a strong enough dosage.
Right. Got it. That is so, it's like, it's all making sense, you know. I'm like, oh, wow. You know, we used to think that was like hocus pocus and so weird and whatever, but it's like, no, it's the frequency of it. It's the vibration and frequency of it. And when you're using it for yourself for a particular reason, you're entrained to it, you know, you become it basically, yes. Right?
Yes.
Love that. Anybody have any questions so far? I know, Nicole, thank you so much. Sherry Edwards, people were asking what the name was, Sherry Edwards. And I think we answered the part about assigned each of their god what we answered that, so we're good. What was the ancient Egyptian tree of life transformation? I think we answered that too, but so the tree of life came from Egypt and went to with Moses to the Jewish people. I don't want to say anything wrong. I'm trying to be so careful of saying it properly, you know. Mm-hmm. Awesome. And so what's interesting is, you know, I love how you're saying this. It's like, you know, it's like little bits and pieces are shared with different cultures, you know. So I'm sure even with the Tree of Life, there's little bits and pieces that other cultures all have also taken on and used in some way. But it's just a little piece. It's not the whole thing, right?
Yes. And that was pretty much how I uncovered the stuff on Egypt, was by learning the secrets in other countries. It's like I imagine that, like, Atlantis, all the subtle energy thing. And when she sunk, you know, some became the Egyptians, some were maybe the Hawaiians, some became American Indians. And there's the secrets from their temples, their mastery went all over the globe. And now when you're trying to put it together, it's very hard to understand because it sounds silly at first. But only when you learn the whole enchilada can you figure it out. And I think it's something with our ascension. Each little piece for this earth is important for ascension. You could think of ascension as white light. And we're all going to high school, spiritual high school, and we're going to get a degree in white light. And so the earth is going through her ascension. And so, you know, the Chinese are bringing in green, and let's say the Hindus are bringing in red, and, Jesus is, and you have Saint Germain is bringing in violet, mm-hmm. and you have all these people bringing in these uplifting frequencies. And guess what? When they're combined, it makes white light. And it's the same with the Sefer Roth. You have, my theory, I would suspect that probably a nephew of Akhenaten. And Akhenaten was the Egyptian who put his turned his back on all the gods and believed in only one. And there he goes, your theme with old Moses, the only the one god. And, Akhenaten and Tut would be for Thoth. So if Moses is coming in with the god, one god, of course he's going to get rid of the first part of his name and just become Moses. And then, you know, in the story, you see that Moses had all these powers, but so did the Egyptian pharaohs. Well, no kidding. Guess who taught Moses? Mm-hmm. So I think when he leaves, you know, he takes their secrets, and even he has like an anti-gravity machine, so he parts the Red Sea. But I believe he stole that from the Egyptians.
Wow.
Wouldn't that be tough if you were acting? Here would be the rescue brother. and he kind of turns on you.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. You know, it's like you never, like, you know.
But it's another way of looking at it. Akhenaten comes in here and he's trying to teach and give to Egypt the idea of God as one, whereas the Egyptian pantheon was that God is the colors of the rainbow. And Akhenaten said, no, he's just the gold sun that breaks into the pantheon. And he fails. But it's his heretic brother that saves the day, because who introduces the world to the idea of the one God? Well, that would be Moses. And isn't that interesting that Moses in the long run, to me, kind of like saves the day for Akhenaten, mm-hmm, in a spiritual sense.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you. That is it's so interesting just to hear about, you know, the history, you know, in a different way, you know, and it opens up your eyes to maybe, you know, maybe things were a little bit differently than you were told, you know. Maybe things are not quite what you think, right? So mm-hmm. I wanted to talk also about, you know, I love talking about frequency and vibration. And when it comes to music and sound, you know, when I'm playing stuff from YouTube, or I have, you know, other MP3s and so on, or I even tried myself to create something a while ago. I told you I was like trying to do it myself a couple of years ago, and it's like, it's so difficult. But can you talk a little bit about the frequency of 432? And I know that is, as I'm saying it, I'm getting this energy download coming in that, yes, this is something that's key. It's important. It's really relevant to us right now.
Well, first let me say that I think every frequency is important, that when we're healthy, we have radiating within our being all frequencies, and lack of health is a lack of frequency. However, in our universe, our system of worlds or something or other, there are sound patterns that will take a ill, emotionally, physically, mentally, all of it, and lights it up into harmony. And those are patterns that are found in nature. They're like the solfeggio tones. They're like the Fibonacci tones. And 432 is a very important one. It's coming in when you look at the mathematics, time, and when you look at like our time cycles and so forth, and you'll find that 432 is a number that's woven in Mother Nature more often than other numbers, maybe making her the most important. In the Great Pyramid, you know, 432 is woven into the dimensions. And one of the reasons that the pyramids are so healing is that they have accurate dimensions in the, you know, like the distance from our Earth to another galaxy, that number's woven right into the dimensions in a pyramid. Mm-hmm. So taking these celestial mathematical numbers, and they've woven them into distances and relationships of different numbers, mathematics again, in their pyramids. So that's why they're so healing. And the 432 was the instrument or the note that they tuned their music to. Right. So it was dominant.
Right. And so do you use a lot of 432 in your work?
I do. I do a lot of work with crystal instruments, and they're all matching the 432. There are many channels that you can go to. I don't have the name off the top of my head, but that will convert your music to 432 as mm-hmm. well.
Right. Yeah, I think I remember looking at that. Yeah, it's like, yeah, okay, cool. And I remember my husband did some research into that as well a couple of years ago, and then he got sidetracked. So I have a question from Linda. Linda, you have a question? You want me to unmute you, Linda? Hello?
Yep, I'm there. Sorry.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for calling on me, Alara.
Sure.
Jill, can you play yes. one of those crystal things that you advertise?
Yes, I tuning forks and yes. a whole crystal harp.
Yes. Could you play that for
me? I don't have one right next to me, but okay. there's I have videos and all kinds of stuff on it all over the internet.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Linda.
And another thing is that the ancient people, including the Egyptians, were, they had two keys to ascension. One was the pitch and the other was the harmonic. Now, harmonic is like an after ripple of sound. So let me say A, E. The E sounds higher, but listen, they're the same pitch. A, E. But the harmonics are different in the E. So the harmonics are an after ripple of pitch, after ripple of sound, and different amounts of energy can fall into the lower or the higher harmonics. So when a violin plays a C, it sounds higher than when a trumpet plays the exact same cycle. This after ripple of sound, they're throwing different amounts of energy in it. So it's and it doesn't hit our radar, but it was critical to the ancient Egyptians. And it's in my Sephiroth sound codes because there are vowel patterns or harmonic patterns that they would link to the stars and to a and they were passed down from these cultures. Theosophy has the same vowel patterns. And so they would listen to their instruments. They would make care to have instruments with solid gold, with platinum, with they had another in Atlantis, another metal that's no longer on the planet, auricum or something like that. But you get a different healing from copper than you would from tin. Mm-hmm. Then you get glass, and harmonics can be to heal the body and for ascension as much as the actual pitches. And that's part of the reasons for me experimenting in sound created with non-instruments, like the quartz crystal here, mm-hmm. for the harmonics.
Nice. So do you want me to play some of the music pieces that you sent me?
Yeah, let me tell about. Can you tell me the name of one of them, and I'll give you a little info on it.
Sure. One of them that we're going to play is Howard Sephiroth.
Okay.
Maybe I'm not saying it right.
Yeah. Hold. Okay. Hold. Yes. Each Sephiroth represents a different attribute of God. This one is splendor, clarity. It's controlling practical and emotional problems. Intellect that is flexible, bound, feelings. And let me tell you a little bit more about what I put in the mix. Howd. Okay. Here it is. Okay. I I put in the harmonics, I put in the vowel chants, and I also put in frequencies of 888, because it's like numerology. They would associate the Sephiroth as numbers 1 to 9, and they would be the building blocks of the universe. Pythagoras say all is number. They're talking about energy and frequency, and they're saying that number patterns repeat. So it was very sacred which number each Sephiroth was. So I put in the master number. That's just simply a sound that's 888 cycles per second. Even in the temples, for example, Roth, his number, because he's going to equate to one of these Sephiroth, is going to be the dimensions of almost everything in that temple.
Okay, cool.
Sound very sacred. Number is very sacred. I also put in the frequency of Mercury's orbit, whale songs, cricket sounds, bird songs, lightning, because associated Throth being the god of sound and Sebek being the crocodile energy. Sebek could almost compare to Buddha in a way. Hmm. Buddha comes in to help people understand about pain and suffering. So Sebek, don't think of him as evil. Think of him as guiding you through challenge and so forth. So so there you go. There's some of the other sounds. And it's
awesome. Just,
you might even, I got an idea. Just, you know, kind of spontaneously.
Mm-hmm.
Channel Throth a little bit.
That would be great.
you play this howled.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
Okay, here we go. Here's Throth.
Okay, let me play the, so you want me to play the Ha'ud first?
No, I'm going to channel first, and he's okay. Going to get us ready, and then when I'm done, then you're going to play Ha'ud.
Awesome.
Is that okay?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, here we go. Oh, blessed children. Many of you are attracted to Egypt, and most, if not all, on this call have been in my temples. You see, most of you would never miss an opportunity to miss in the great, to incarnate in the great Egyptian pyramids. And since sound is creation, sound is the word, and as your Bible says, in the beginning was the word. The initiation of all priests and priestesses, no matter what temple, would all begin in the temples of Throth. Under my tutelage, and have read the sacred words. You think that reading is an understanding, and yes, it's kind of like a thumbprint of truth. Yet reading the letter, your letters in English and other languages being somewhat symbolic, yet were not. They were the actual sound representations of energy. If you say om and put sand on a drum nearby, vibrate and create the symbol. And in that way, the Egyptian language equates to vibrations. So when you read my sacred texts, you were encoded. At that time, go into your subconscious that are able to be unveiled and unfold even now as we speak. And I am grateful for this intro, for I shall be with each one of you. Sound cold. Know that I will unlock some of that which you have learned in ancient times and release them. If you are receptive, you receive them and start to utilize them more often, but all receive. And if you're not quite ready, Christmas tree with little gifts of love for the very perfect moment. I am honored to reconnect. many of you. Close relations in Samaria, Egypt, also in the Great White Brotherhood, and I am glad to reintroduce and welcome you back. And now we shall listen to Haoud.
Lovely. You know, I listened to it before, but now when I'm listening, it was like, wow, I was just like, so much peace. So lovely. Thank you. Yeah, wow. How was that for you guys? Let me know in the chat how that was for you. Did you hear it? Or is it just me? Eagle Song Woman, I was going to ask you, how was it for you?
Oh, my goodness. Jill Madsen, hi, sister. I thank you. Thank you for your life. You're expressing everything into words that I feel. Can I move in?
yes.
Thank you. I have a couple things to mention. Stay straight. Alice Bailey came to me about 15 years ago, and I was looking for her picture that was given to me or fell on my foot or something. But ever since then, I've been channeling vibrational sound toning, and I use that through sessions. So an 888 is constantly appearing to me, as is 333-222, so many numbers. And it's like I can't get ahead of myself to know what it all means. So anyway, thank you, thank you, thank you for today. Is everything that you talked about today in the package?
Yes, and then about 4 or 5 hours of videos that each teach different skills from each temple. You know, so like what you learned in Isis would be different than, you know, Horus. And they had stuff on aging, they had stuff on abundance, they had stuff, I mean, stuff that we like, you know, working with chakras above their head, you know, different colors out of your fingers instead of just the white light. To be more precise, they had, you know, quantum energy. And here's just another little thing. They had a lot of spiritual words, like Ka was your spiritual double. And they had music to heal your Ka body or your spiritual double. Well, that's your quantum entanglement. And with that collider, I'm probably butchering the word, but collider in Europe, that's proven quantum entanglement. So we do have an opposite double, and that's proven. And the Egyptians were tuning it, and they had special tones. And one of the temples, they had like a healing method of getting into your like quantum double and tuning that. My best girlfriend was a great energy healer, and we would often do like energy work and heal something, and it feel great until the next day, and then it was back. And we often found that if we worked on our Ka body, you know, for all you guys who are energy workers, and we did that with intent, it was so simple. Just say, okay, now I'm working on the Ka body, and maybe even, you know, designating where we thought that Ka body was. We would start doing energy work on the opposite, because if the problem originated, you know, it's a big universe someplace else, and resonated into us, that it would keep reoccurring. And so there's probably, I don't know, I think I've written it down someplace, many, many hours of techniques from each temple.
Yeah. So wow. there's lots of videos, and, you know, including, you know, the Sephiroth, I want to say tones, but, you know, the music, tone, sounds from the different Sephiroth, as well as, like, yeah, tons and tons of videos as well about the history, about the knowledge, about the wisdom and the teachings of ancient Egypt, right, Jill?
Yes, and then the techniques too. So you know, so how to try to remember your past lives.
Oh yes.
Interesting. When I went into the life of the priest, because it's you don't get any details, you know, you just have this lore for me. And when I started receiving some of the information, like about what you did in a temple, it's like it started bringing back more memories, and things were more real to me. And I was able to, and I think there's another exercise there on doing a past life regression as well, that you can just follow along. Because to me, it was very empowering to identify which temples I'd been in. Thoth was one of mine, 888, probably one of yours. And because I recognize that energy, and it was the higher energy. It's a part of me that doesn't express every day. It was like a better part of me. Yeah, so it was really nice to connect and learn ways to kind of strengthen.
Well, I can't express the light that's coming through right now, the energy down my spine. My ears are feeling like they want to explode. It's just, wow. I haven't
felt
this in a very long time, the physicality of it. So again, thank you, thank you, thank you. I'll be buying the package. And thank you.
Thank you, Caroline, Eagle Song Woman. So Caroline also does music, and what's the word? Produces sound and music, songs. And she does energy healing as well. And then, and probably more animal communication and much more.
Much more.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank
so
you.
I didn't notice for some reason all of the wonderful comments in the chat. So I'm just going to quickly go in there for a quick second. So Nicole was asking, what is your guidance for a blossoming sound healing practitioner? Sound healing practitioner to be.
I've written books on that. I've written books on ancient sounds, on basically using sound, your emotional body, your mental body, for sleeping, for energy, for spiritual work, for relationships, for even changing your zodiac. And so I've written a book like Sound in Your Body, which is Secret Sound. And then The Lost Ways of Time took me 25 years to write. And that is the secret sound techniques of Sumeria, Atlantis, Lumeria, China, Egypt, Hinduism. I'm going right around the globe. And they're all using sound. They're using sound in the most incredible.
Wow. Awesome. Thank you. And so people were like, there was just such wonderful comments in here, but they were saying that they were just absolutely loved the music that we just played. It was hauntingly beautiful, like angels singing. It was, and it's uplifting, you know, it's very uplifting, and it also is very expansive, isn't it? It expands your field, you know? Yeah, I love that. It was wonderful. And
you know, it would be good to loop. You know, yeah. I included them as video so you can see the shapes, and that's a little bit more powerful dosage. But also I included the MP3s, just that thinking you could put them on a loop in your MP3 player.
Yeah.
And let me say another thing about sound is that sound travels through your bodies in many ways. Loud sounds go in through your ears, and once it hits your nervous system, I want you to think of the internet. On the internet, your harmonics are averaged because you're getting huge quantities of data or information going through. And in your bones, you'll get the harmonics. So you'll find that different volumes go in different ways in your body. And one of the most impactful volumes are very, very subtle. Sound. So very soft sounds, barely discernible, but coming up like from the earth. There are sounds, it's documented, the NASA and satellites coming in from the space, from the waves. So, but they're very, very hearing range, they're subtle. And perhaps the most impactful ones on our consciousness are very soft and subtle ones. So the Egyptian healing method with the ostrich egg or a skull, a healthy skull next to you, you're getting a very subtle sound, but it's very healing. So I'm saying that to say that you could loop the Sephiroth and do a very small volume and having them play while you sleep or all day long, slow volume. Yeah. And they're very impactful that way.
So does everything emit a sound?
Everything.
Everything emits a sound, yeah.
Maybe not in our hearing range. And in our hearing range, but the volume is too small.
Yeah. Yeah, got it. Awesome, thank you. It's so interesting, you know, and it's like, I'm going to get my husband to look into this some more. I want to get your tuning forks and, you know, things like that. I sent him the link already yesterday because I want to get them. So I wanted to talk just briefly here about the special offer. So for those of you who are on the live page, you can just click on special offer. And those of you who are not, you can go to alara.at/show/Jill. Where is it? Here we go. I'm going to open it up too. All right, here we go. So in this package, there are like three components, but there's really more than that. The first one is 6 hours of videos on ancient Egypt, right? Which includes 15 videos, a PDF, some MP3s, some bonus MP3s. And then there's some Sephiroth video attunements. There's like 10, 12, 14. I'm trying to count back. And then there is MP3 audio on the Sephiroth higher dimensional attunement. So can you just talk a little bit about the package and how it can, you know, why would we need it, or why would, like, how would it be beneficial for us to receive the frequencies and sounds and vibrations of the Sephiroth?
Okay, well, the Sephiroth sounds, again, it's one of the fastest enlightened methods there is. And when you talk about raising your consciousness, you know, having good health is kind of like a byproduct. Mm-hmm. So it's like once you become more powerful and drop into your knowing, you know, your manifesting becomes more powerful. There's no area of your life that's not impacted by raising your consciousness. But the Sephiroth are doing it, like taking you up an octave. It's okay. Very powerful. And the videos, like there's, I'm just trying to examples. There's one on your health. And think to the pharaohs, every, I think it was 26 or 27 years, they had to do a triathlon and let everybody watch. So if you were a pharaoh in your 70s, just think you had to do a triathlon. I couldn't have done that in my 20s.
So no.
An old dude out there, he has to do this. Now, how were they?
Wow.
Because for them, if you were really had spiritual proudness, you controlled your body. And of course, it would be remain youthful into old age. And so I have a video on the technique used by the pharaohs to retain youthfulness. And let me see, I had videos on, they had studied a lot the chakras. So if you think about your chakras, think about white light and complementary colors combine and form white light. So red light and light. Therefore, there's connections between your heart chakra and your root chakra.
Mm-hmm.
And so they studied that when you tune or work with your chakras, what order, because, and then directly going to the heart and creating that white light, they kind of strengthen each other. And then they would kind of work in geometry, which would also unleash the greatest amount of power and light in your chakras. Again, earlier, higher evolved beings would have had, you know, chakras the size of grapefruits.
Right. Yeah. Not like us anymore.
Yeah. So they had orders. And then if you look at the Egyptians' god, they have these colored balls. That's their soul chakra. And the color would be like their color of mastery. And they had methods for using these balls, chakras, in different ways of using them, which is kind of cool.
Sure.
And then I go over for past life recognition, like, you know, because I would assume most everybody on this call is interested in spirituality and has been in the priesthood. So just giving you kind of like and a past life regression on a video. Then we go into Thoth. And the bit about magic spell, planetary chants that I mentioned, that the very, very secret that they would chant after the pharaoh passed, assuming that it takes him, they says it takes 3 years to pass. So they're going to raise his energy, like the Tibetan Book of the Dead, during the passage process to get him ascended as much as possible, because he would then in turn over like them. And so, you know, I give you those. And then they also had other things that they did, ways of using the idea of turning base metal into gold. And it was an ordeal. So if you really wanted to gold, go sack the nation. That's easier than the Philosopher's Stone. The whole point of turning like a stone to gold, it was really to take unpurified or compromised energy in nature, such as our activity we're subject to, and turn it into the pure light of God. So I had, there's some exercises there that they would use following the Philosopher's Stone, a purifying, very powerful stuff in purifying perhaps our temple or us.
Right.
Let me see. And then I did a little bit on feng shui for your room, your living room, your bedroom. part of antiquity was to have generators for many reasons, one of which would be to instill people with a sense of grandeur. And if they go in or nearby, they're going to like frequency. And they had a lot of really cool, I got a new book coming out soon, taking mystical ancient music nature patterns and converting it to your space. And I have a video here on how you could take some of their techniques in your living room to make it like frequencies. And then I had another video, I forget whose temple this, oh, it was Mott, I think. Any dimensional energies, releasing energy blockages, using sound to get rid of pain, using reverse mediumship, just kind of my word, but putting energy into the future or going into the back, into your past and kind of changing it. Vibrations, it's not set in stone.
Right.
And they would work that way. And then in the Isis temple, I got Isis toning and exercise. To say that many of us in incarnations might have had wings, and that at this point in time in our evolution, they're able to be in our etheric realms on our backs.
Right.
As we evolve, we need to work on that and to unleash them, because they can cause back pain if we don't. So I'm working with Isis. You know, she always see her out like with her hands out and wings. So that's what I chose there. And then with Matt, that's the one I did with using your quantum entanglement energies, and with solfeggio tones, which are also balancing. And then I did techniques with Nut and Shu and Geb, all the different gods.
So all of the 10 Sephiroth.
Yeah, the 10 Sephiroth. Oh, and also for gardening. And I also did a video, basics, how to use sound healing too.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
And for gardening. They were definitely using sound to magnify their agriculture, and so for your plants, gardens, whole stuff.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely. I mean, you can use sound for anything and everything, right? To enhance your space, to enhance your body. And maybe I can use it to finally heal my... I was just thinking that my shoulder, you know, this year it's this shoulder. Last year or 2 years ago, it was this shoulder. So I was wondering, I wonder if that's related to those wings.
It could be. Start letting them out.
You never know.
Imagine it'll start working with them. They're tools. Wings are not just for flying.
Right. They're tools.
A wing like this is a different energy than a wing like this, than a wing like this. It's a tool. Mm. And even etherically, you can use.
Awesome. Thank you. So we have questions about, okay, so for those of you who are interested, you know, the package is $99, which with the amount of information that's there, including the, and there's some MP3s that we didn't talk about, the bonus MP3s. One of them is called On Angels' Wings, and it's about healthy skin, collagen, muscle, skin tissue, so it's like getting a facelift.
Yeah.
Right?
That would help your shoulder.
Oh, yeah? Okay, cool.
Awesome. Because the frequencies of the muscle, physical octave, same note, higher or lower, than the rest of your body. So as you tune, which that CD directly tunes all the muscles and works on the skin here, it an octave of that is every other muscle in your body. So it also tunes the whole muscular system.
Awesome. Thank you. Glad I asked. And then there's other one. There's two other ones. My Soul from Paint Your Soul CD, and then the Heart and Intro from the Deep Wave Body Healing. And again, that has to do with the organs and for the body, the anti-inflammation, the pyramid energy, sacred geometry. And I was listening to the My Soul from Paint Your Soul CD, and it is beautiful. Just absolutely beautiful. I fell in love with that one, I have to say.
Thank you. Thank you. That brings in white light. You see, ancient people valued clairvoyance, and certain music always brings in white light. And I put those tones in there. And then they would also use different music at different times of the day to balance with the energies of the earth as the day and the seasons change. But that is a very powerful frequency pattern from antiquity to just bring in white light and feel good.
Yeah, and feel really good. So there was somebody, hold on, there's questions. So Nicole is asking some questions. So I was talking about the crystal tuning forks a little while ago. Is, you know, can people purchase those as well as the Nightingale? Can people purchase the Nightingale?
Yeah, they're all on my site, my website, yes.
Awesome. Yes. So Nicole, if you're interested, you can go to jillswingsoflight.com.
Yes.
Because I know I'm going to definitely get the crystal tuning fork. And if I tell my husband about the Nightingale, well, you know, we might be getting that too. So, just be forewarned. And then Anda is asking, how do Egyptian teachings relate to the circular temples of Göbekli Tepe, if at all?
The earlier temples were almost, and you know, when you look at nature, you don't see a lot of square shapes. You don't actually see pyramids so much in nature. So the Göbekli Tepe, you know, in the stone circles, the old architecture coming in from Lemuria and Atlantic would be feminine, curved. And I believe that a lot of the old stone circles would be aligned with the star systems. The idea, for example, Isis says she's from Sirius. Many of the Egyptians relate to that particular planet, but not all, like coming in from Lyra. But at any rate, they're tracing their ancestors to the stars. And so what, kind of like in the movie E.T., I don't know, it's an old movie, but he's almost, the cute little E.T.'s dying and he needs to phone home or else he's going to die. He needs to connect.
Yeah.
So these people were like, they go to a stone circle, like they're from the Pleiades. They would go to a Pleiades-tuned stone circle that has resonance with the Pleiades and at certain times exchanges, like download their energy groceries or something in their body. But so Göbekli Tepe, I believe that, if I've got this right, I hope I do, would have, you know, different star systems because the stars move.
Right.
So, you know, you could build like, you know, configuration for this star system and then 2,000 years later build another one that's a little different. I hope I got that correct. But
awesome. Thank you.
It would have been an earlier tradition than the Egyptians.
Okay, cool. And I was just going to see something. So Nicole was wondering, how can we find our soul's note or our home note? Is that the possibility?
Absolutely.
That's a good question, Nicole.
So many. One way would be to tone and and your body's going to have a predominance of one frequency. And also, it's going to be heavy on some notes and not others. And so, toning every note, you'll find this subtly, one note's going to get louder without you raising your voice. And that's because it has resonance with you in the volume. So that would be one way. In my books, I think it's, correlate your astrological sign with a note at birth. So some of us come in for like two purposes. So like I was tuned to, you know, one note, and then halfway through my life, my whole life changed and I tuned to another note.
Right.
Guideline. You can use software at soundhealthoptions.com. And I go into that in my secret sounds book. But there's software you can look at the breakout of pitch, and then the one that would be your soul note.
Okay, awesome. Nicole, I had no idea. So thank you. And I, my tone's definitely changed because my whole life has completely changed. So it must have.
That's happened to me.
All right, awesome. So was there anything else that we needed to talk about today, Jill? Did we want to play the other piece of music as well?
Sure. Why don't we do that? What's the name of it?
Peter?
Say it again.
Hold on, let me check.
Peter?
I think so.
Okay, that one is the energy of Peter.
1 second. Where is it? There's this one. We're finished with that one. Yeah, it's Cater, Crown Sephiroth.
Okay. That is wisdom, will, and selflessness. And hold on, let me tell you what I put in the mix on that one. I got it written down. Sure. Okay. That's the Ein Sof. That's it's kind of like the void. This is the area in which raw potential is. This is the first state of God, if you will, before he starts to break down into fractal components. It's very powerful, very spiritual, definitely on the other side of the veil, if you will. Therefore, I'm putting in a lot of the master number 111 because it's the first Sephiroth. I also put in all of the master numbers because it's also representing all of them. But I put a great predominance of 111. I put in the music is from has a flower remedy in it. It's the century flower tones. Again, it's DNA kind of being our the numeric, and it's kind of like our schematic. So I'm tuning the DNA. I put in frequencies of the orbits of all the planets in the solar system. The ancient Egyptians would tie each one of the Sephiroth to a planet, and you can get their orbit frequencies and even so those kind of things are just softly in the background. I put fire energy, thinking of the Ein Sof, and then, so there you go. And in each one of these, and you create an energy, the being comes in through you. They create energies that we can, and think that your mother is a little different, think that she's not sitting next to you. Feels a little different. It's the same thing in that energy records. So this one I have the Ein Sof. This is like Yahweh, if you will, or all that is. This mm-hmm. is that type of an energy.
Yeah, awesome, good.
Okay.
Thank you. And so yes, Caroline, this is part of the package. This is just a small piece of it, but it is part of the package. Okay, so I'm gonna play that one now.
Okay.
Share. 1 second. Awesome. Thank you. And, you know, as I was listening to that, my whole body started to like release, you know, and started to get the tension out of it a little bit more, you know, and because just more ease, you know, it's like I was able to receive more ease into my body. That was, yeah, awesome. Thank you. So I just realized that I remembered one thing we didn't do and we totally forgot and we ran out of time now, but it's like, oh, we didn't talk about the manifestation we're going to talk about.
Well, here's one right here. For this one, it's good for teacher. Of all the psychic skills, the ancient people believed the most powerful was knowing. And I don't know if you've ever known something. Even if it's something going to happen, it's different than knowledge. Mm-hmm. It's different than truth. It's a very deep, deep, deep frequency. And it's actually, to me, it's entering the void. And the void was very, very important to the Egyptians and the ancient people because they would go to a state like Keter. So if you're going to do manifesting, listen to Keter first. And because the Keter is the void, the Keter is the raw potential. And so you get into that and just see what it is that you want, but never in terms of a Weasley.
Yeah, but as like a knowing.
Yes, you want, like, I've forgiven, you're having troubles forgiving someone. I forgive all.
Right.
Just go into the void, listen to the Keter, going into your knowing. You got to create a very strong feeling to go out to the universe, attract like and train it and bring it back. So the stronger, the more strata. See, the thing about knowing in the void, it's like you get the deepest pitch, the all. And so go into this, listen to the Keter, or go into the feeling that you got from that. Mm-hmm. Imagine knowing, and like your feet go into the center earth, and you're so strong. And you'll find that your rhythm slows. Mm-hmm. Get very still, very focused.
It's like very sure. Very, you know, like confident and sure, right?
And look for it because it will come.
Oh, yes.
It always comes. We may not recognize it. Mm-hmm. Then ask, then go, and I recognize it.
Right. And acknowledge it when you do see it, you know, because, yeah. We actually do get everything we ask for.
We do.
So, you know, and I just find that right now it's happening faster and faster. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. And that was awesome. I'm looking forward to like listening to more of the MP3s, especially the ones from my shoulder. Thank you for that. And then, you know, going back and really, you know, like there's so much history and so much knowledge and so much wisdom in all of the content that you've curated for us and you've like learned about and are sharing with us. And about the Sephiroth, because if we are on the path of ascension, you know, if we want to be on the path of ascension, we say we are, we would like to expand our consciousness. You said you're saying that, you know, working with the Sephiroth, listening to those sounds, watching those videos is a really, really good way to help us to do that, right? Yeah, a faster way.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've all done the slow way, and it's like, yeah, it's time for the fast way now. Yeah, awesome. Thank you. So for those of you who are looking at the package, it is at alara.at/show/Jill. Take a look at it and see how that resonates with you. And so there's going to be MP3s as well that you can loop and just play, you know, at nighttime while you're sleeping, in your room while you're working or playing or whatever you're doing, to really go deeper and enhance, you know, your body, your spirituality, your space, and your consciousness. So thank you.
Thank you.
So any last words of wisdom, Jill, for us before we go?
I guess let the music unfold because you are music and enjoy it.
Awesome. Thank you. Yes, enjoy it. Let the music unfold and you are music and we are all sound, right? And so what vibration are you playing with right now, right? And what vibration are you putting out to the world, right? Oops. Mm-hmm. Playful vibration. All right. So thank you so much, everyone. This has been, this was the first show of the series for, you know, the new series. So look for more. And until next time, may you all continue to be blessed with an abundance of joy, peace, love, happiness, and prosperity and radiant health. Sending you all much love and blessings always. Bye for now.